Philippians 2 again, verse 12 to 18.
Yeah.
Sorry, I wasn't supposed to do it earlier. Anyway, get it twice. Right. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in pain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Big round of applause to all of you. We'd love to honour people here. And, want to honour this morning all the guys that set up, because they get up early, Elvin and just the others that they give their early morning Sundays to come here. Let's give them a big round of applause, like, you know who you are. Well done, guys. So proud of you and that. Okay, so we're going to call this morning, Shining, How to Shine Like Stars in God's Eyes. Everyone want to shine like a star in God's eyes? Come on. Okay. And so what we heard in what God has been doing amongst us in the last few weeks is honestly amazing. You know, the presence of God during the week where we met in Basildon during the week, it was just really amazing. The men's breakfast, God came, a couple of us were on the floor, there was miracles breaking out, the leadership conference, people were on the floor again, and I've got to say, you know, the World Church really did shine now, amongst everyone. It was just amazing. And so God is doing so much. And this passage, I believe, gives us a pathway and a route into the depths of God, if we would just go there, if we would just follow what God and through Paul encourages us to do, to go to the depths of God. None of this surface stuff, you know, hallelujah and all that stuff, and it's just surface level. No, it's a deep level where we get to meet God. We can get to engage with God down in our bellies that we know we're arrested. Nothing else in life matters because we know we've met with the living God, and that's what he wants to do with us this season, this year, is take us there. And through this, so does anyone in the house want fresh fire in their bellies today? Does anyone want that fresh wave of God? Because that's why I feel it's like an engulfing of just been coming. I don't know what it feels like, but oil, just absolutely every, no worries, no stress, no strains. Just that feeling of absolute peace, tranquility. And that's what God wants to bring to us, that joy from heaven inside, whatever you're going through. And so as we look at Philippians, what it tells us is this. He takes us down through different paths of humility, of unity and intimacy. So important if we want the presence of God to have all that. But and complete abandonment to God. That's how you get that. That's how revivals start, where people really abandon themselves to the living God. We yield to him. We say, God, I've had it with this world. I've tried everything that's out there. You know what? I don't want any more. I just want you. And we launch and we the depths of God and into his presence. And that's what he wants from us. And that's what pleases God. And so out of us should shine the glory of God. I keep going back to that Moses thing where he came before God, and as he came down, he didn't realize it, but he outshone. The spirit world, let me tell you now, knows when you've been with Jesus and when it doesn't. But we can have eyes to see that as well, where we come into God's presence, we see him, and it transforms us. And that is where we're going to be going. It's beyond understanding. It's a life of breakthroughs, a life of miracles, a life of wonders, a life of God doing things that are absolutely miraculous in our lives. Now, when we were on the men's prayer meeting, this 84-year-old guy turned up. I've never seen him. I've got him through a connection from years ago. And I thought, oh, my word, the kids are going to love this. Some really old guy strutting in could just about walk. And it's true. And so a pastor, you think, oh, man, you want the kids doing it because we got the kids there as well. And do you know what? It's so helpful, so healthy to let our young kids come along. So young boys, and it will be with the ladies as well, get them alongside men. Get them on to see what they're like, having a laugh, having a joke, you know, and just being men together. Anyway, we got them there, and suddenly this old guy walks in. I'm thinking, no, God. And then he started to speak, and he had all of us feeding off his hand. And he told us story after story of seeing legs grow, arms grow, everything happening, miracle after miracle. And when his time come and went, he's going, do you want another story? And everyone wouldn't let him go. It's another story after story. And then the presence of God broke out on the floor, miracles. Liam, who's starting to preach now, he had one leg longer than the other, that grew. And then he had one arm longer than the other, put his thing out like that. And he prayed for him, and his arm went, and it was absolutely, he couldn't believe it, Liam. And then, you know, the great thing about it was we had some guy there, it was Tony Mayon's in-law. And he won't have anything to do with Jesus. And I said to him afterwards, I said, did you see that? He went, I did see that. I said, what do you make of that? He said, I'm spellbound. He said, I don't know what to make of it all. And that's it. That's what we carry. Each one of us should be going out there and doing that and displaying like Angela and Lauren this week, going and pray for people and seeing miracles happen. This is the path. So that means you've taken God seriously. It's none of this like a little bit of niceness, a little bit of good here. That isn't Christianity. That's a load of chuck. We don't want that. We want the fullness. It's what Jesus came for. Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. I was speaking to someone the other day who's in the midst of Africa that they bring people back to life there. I'd love to get the opportunity. I have shook the hands with someone who's done that. Let's not be satisfied with something that is far short of what we see in the Bible, guys. Can I hear a glory to that? And so verse 12 starts to lead us down these paths, different paths that lead to the depths of God and make him happy with us. And it says this, my beloved, you have always obeyed me when I'm with you. Now do it when I am absent. And so this is a call from God for us to obey him, not just here, but to step into it. So just as Jesus obeyed, it wasn't easy for him. That Jesus obeyed even until death on the cross. And so we are called to obey as well. And he's encouraging us in the second part, not just when I'm with you, Paul said, but when I am absent. So when I'm not here and I'm down in Basildon, obey. I'd actually, well done, guys. I know you do. It's not about me. It's about obeying Jesus. But what he's saying is obey. It's all about authenticity. It's being real. It's doing the right thing. And so when we're at work, we do the right thing. We don't hide. We don't put on a mask. We don't be like one thing with some people and another thing with other people. And we don't do that. It's about being authentic. You know, some people turn up on a Sunday and it's like, love, love, love. It's like, how are you doing? Oh, you're so good. Welcome and all this kind of stuff. And they're a picture of purity on a Sunday until someone cuts them up in a car on a Monday and they get the finger up and whee. I've been there. You know, actually, when people do that to me, I tend to agree with them because my driving really isn't great. Honestly, it's not. It's not. Yes, I agree. And they get all signs coming out the window and it's like, well, you know, the sun don't get, but it's about being authentic. And it's okay to be you. Yeah, God's saying, I don't want you to be two-faced. this person and then that person. Just be the real deal. It's so much easier, guys. I was talking to someone this morning, and we were talking as men about the things that go wrong as you get older, and there's quite a lot that starts to go wrong. We might be kids, like in our brains, we're like 25, 30 years old, but actually bits of the body start to fail. Does anyone know that happening? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, but it's about being real, and I was encouraged because he's sick as well as I'm getting sick, and the bits are going wrong, but yeah, it's great to go through things together. You know, I'll say that bit again. I love Rick Warren's, I think it is. Look, you're not okay, and I'm not okay, but that's okay. And that's the environment, that's the culture, guys, that we live under here at this church. It's okay to be you. Just be you. That's all we're called to be. And so Proverbs 5:21 says, a man's ways are always before God, before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. So if you do that, I'm like this in church and I'm like that outside, God sees it all. It never ceases to amaze me when people do that. And I think, don't they realise that God sees it all? You know, God is... I remember talking to a Jehovah's Witness once, and you know, he was an old friend, or his brother was from school. Long story, but very short. He was seeing a married woman, a divorced woman. That was it. And in their way, if you do that, they scrubbed you out of eternal life. And I said, okay. And we chatted, and I said, don't you think then God sees what you do? Because he was kind of hiding, didn't want anyone to know, because he didn't want his name shrubbed out. I said, well, what about God? He sees that. And actually, he took himself out of the Jehovah's Witnesses, took him through the prayer, and then he said, Clive, I'm not coming to church. I've been controlled for years. I'm going to go around the world. He said, I'm getting a motorbike, and I'm traveling the world now. And that. And so it's all about being authentic. God sees where you are. He sees who you are. And as much as we might battle against the word of God, and let's be honest, when we're looking at Jesus, when we're looking at perfection, inside we're thinking, not quite there yet. Bit more to do there. But in the end, we would always pray his prayer like Jesus, like David did, where he said, how I love your law, O God. So he's watching. God is watching, but he's not watching you to punish you. Did you know that? He isn't that horrible God up there just waiting to pounce. No, he's waiting. He punished Jesus for that. Everything we ever done wrong, Jesus put on the cross for that. No, he's watching so that he can promote you, that he can lift you up, that he can extend his kingdom through you, that he can reach your friends and family and neighbors through you with the gospel, that you would pass the tests of life, and that he would bring you closer to him. Imagine that, is that you're that close to God, and God's over there, and he could either leave you there or put you through a bit of pain, a bit of hardship, a few trials, but through that, you're a bit closer. And then he puts you through something else, and through that, you're a bit closer. And that is the story of life, Pilgrim's Progress. I'm admitting fully because it's all old English and I get bored with that. But actually, the different things that he takes you through is what we go through in life, because God's not happy with where we are. He loves you absolutely where you are now, but he wants you closer, just like a father or a mother wants their child close. No good holding them there, is it? You want them here. You want them close. And that is what our walk is all about. And so verse 12 says this, the work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so he says, we've got to fear God like the world does? No, it's nothing like that, guys. There's nothing anywhere near like that. It's that we are to approach our Father, knowing he loves us, knowing he cares for us, knowing that he wants the best for us. He'd do anything, even give his own son for us. But as we approach him as a loving Father, it is also with awe and reverence, because he is splendid, he is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, he's eternal, he's a magnificent, glorious God, full of wonder, full of signs, a beautiful God, and we should be so in awe of him. Yeah, if you want to be more in awe of God, I say it so often, A.W. Tozer's book, Knowledge of the Holy, best book by a million miles apart from the Bible. Read it, absorb it, it will teach you who your God is. And so as we approach him, working your salvation is not about us earning it or doing anything. Jesus is the only one that can do that. He has done it all. No, it's about walking with him, about appreciating Jesus, talking with him, respecting him when he says do some things. Yes, can't wait. Not, well, I might do one day. None of that stuff. It's about obeying and walking out of reverence. That's how we work out our salvation, with fear and trembling. I remember when I first come to Christ, and I weren't going to church, didn't know any other Christian, but I had a list. I knew God. I just read the Bible and I hadn't been born again experience, this life of God in me that I didn't understand. There was so much life there. And I had this list that I knew that God wanted me to put right. No more fighting, no more getting drunk, no more sleeping around, no more swearing. And he was like, God, am I really? You know, this is how I lived. And gradually I crossed them all off. And I thought, me and God's like that. It's like, I'm done, you know what I mean? And then 2 weeks later, I couldn't believe it. I woke up and there was another list there, all this other stuff. And do you know what? The thing is that never stops, guys. God always wants to move, to refine us more and more and more. Attitudes, all sorts of things he works on. And so that is what our walk in, as in working out in fear and trembling. And that's what we do. We work on what God is. What is, I'd ask that question, what is God working on you at this time? It tends to be one thing, but there's a few things, and none of us. How's your list? How is your list today? Are you working on it or just ignoring God? Because he wants us closer. He wants us deeper with him. Verse 13, another path, says this. For it is God who works within us to do his will for his pleasure. And so God is working on us inside. That's why we pray this morning. That's why we ask God to come. And we know that he does. His presence is here. It's really tangible down here. Really wonderful as Celia and the guys with Vicky and Colega and Sam as well, just leading us into his presence. Wasn't just to make us feel good. This is the living God, guys, coming to live in your bellies. In out of your bellies will come rivers of living water. God wants to come close to touch you with holiness. I like Knickerbocker Glories. I like ice cream. I like a Sunday roast. They're wonderful. It's like, who likes chocolate in the house? Yeah, come on. Lauren, yes, I've got that problem too. Not as bad as Debbie. She does it in the middle of the night, like grassing all night up there. Is that right, Deb? Kit Kat. Kit Kat, there we call her. So, but these things are nice, but they don't touch what it feels like to have the presence of God come and live in us. And we should have that all the time. And God wants to deepen that, and he wants to increase it in each one of us. And here we go, guys. What it's all about is that God, through these words, wants what he's doing on the inside to be seen on the outside. Wonder how we measure up today, guys. Is the world seeing something? I'll be honest with you. I was with my grumpy neighbour yesterday, Lucas. He's come to faith. I meet him every other Saturday. And I told him a couple of things I'm going through at the minute. And I got him to pray. He's got Christ in his life now. He won't come to church yet. He's for old school everything. And that, but one day, yeah. I mumbled and I grumbled a little bit, yeah, which I don't usually do, never do with him, or non-Christian, what's the point? But I was feeling a bit heavy yesterday, and he got him surprised. He said, come on, Lucas, you pray. And he prayed. And he said, pray, God, I pray that Clive doesn't moan. He doesn't. And it was like, no, I deserve it, though, because I've slipped into that. And it's so easy, isn't it? Yeah. It's so easy to do that. And just keep praying for me. But the thing is, that's what maturity is. Not what I did, but what I didn't. Is like we go through that. And we go through life, not groaning and all that stuff. It's about loving upon him. That's maturity. And on the path, what drives us there? What drives us into the heart of God? What would it be? Two things it is. It's absolute love for Jesus and all that he is. He is wonderful. He is glorious. That he is beautiful. Everything he creates is just absolutely magnificent. And we love him. We gaze upon him like we did this morning. And we start coming alive inside with that. But also, apart from the love of God, is the fear. It's the hatred. You think, can we? Yes. Hatred for all the things that he hates. The sin, the darkness in the world. It's hatred that drives us there as well. You haven't gone look far with what's happening with Putin, killing thousands of people because he wants a bit more power. That's however he started. Hatred for that stuff. Hatred for the abuses, the rapes, the abuse of women in this world. Domestic violence that goes on. All this stuff, guys. We hate that. And we love Jesus. But as we mature, it's the love that takes over. It's the love as we get rid of the stuff out of our lives that God hates. It's that love for Jesus that drives us on, that takes us into his heart. The hatred of all that is evil, because God hates it. That's why he allowed Jesus to die on the cross, because he hates that stuff. He hates what it does to us. When he stood there and he cried when Lazarus was dead, he cried because of what sin had done. It had taken his mate. We weren't supposed to die. And he cried in tears. My mate shouldn't have gone through that. He hates sin. And that's what draws us to him, draws us to Jesus. So what does all this look like in our life when you start to put it into place? Verse 14 says, do things without grumbling. And so it was interesting that came up this morning as well. So we got to stop moaning about our bag in life. We've all got stuff. Try being a pastor for a couple of weeks. You'll soon find out. We've all got stuff. I mean, I've got stuff. Do you want to hear some of my stuff? You're going to get it anyway. The work is, there's hardly any of that. And what, you know, we've just heard that one of our main competitors, right, he was nicking our best people a year ago, giving them more money. We trained them up. We give them good wages. But because he's starting out, he's willing to do anything to get them. He got a couple of our best guys. Yeah. In the old days, there will be a different story. But I'm glad this is not the old days. Because we left it to God. Remember that what he said? Don't be angry. Leave it. Don't go for vengeance. Leave that for me, God says. So we left it. And that. Do you know what? The guy has just been knocked for £300,000. And you would think like that. We're going, yes, that'll teach him to nick our best people. And we were really struggling as a firm. Do you know, I even spoke to my son. Pray for him. He's not quite there yet. We're saying we don't feel that way because it's really hard to do what we do. Fencing is the hardest game in the building trade by far. It just is. Everything is hard about it. But we feel sorry for the guy. And there's those people that we employed that we knew as almost family, and then now they're phoning us up for work, and we've got to say no because we haven't got enough. So there's one of mine, right? There's loads more. People let you down. Technology lets you down. I've got loads of stuff. We've all got stuff that we can moan about. What makes you whinge this morning? Come on. I wonder what your thing is, yeah? Is it because you don't get enough sleep? That takes me to a place where I can easily, yeah, have Robbie as well. Well done, Rob. Two of us together. Yeah, we don't get enough sleep. We get there. Or when one of them days when nothing goes right, or when a certain person tells me, you've made a mess in the kitchen again. And I think, well, I've just cleared all your mess up in the kitchen. I was really trying hard not to make any mess. And yet, I'm in a doghouse again. I'm not going to tell you her name.
Yeah.
It does. It gets to me. I'm, I'll be honest, as much as I've tried to be clean and I know they, it's always a mess. We have a meal and all that. Everyone else I see, they're all their stuff, they don't make hardly any mess. Me, I might as well have a baby's bib, do you know what I mean? I'm just always away. When it gets me, I'll get to myself. I'll grumble about me. How about you? Yeah. You see, grumbling is a reaction to something we don't like or where we don't get our own way. That's the natural reaction. But when we live out of joy, that Paul is trying to teach us in this, it's another way, it's another realm. Do you want to live on earth and out how the world lives, or live out of heaven? We are seated in the heavenly realms. We live out of joy. And when we live out of joy, we realize it's not all about getting our own way, guys. It isn't. That won't bring you happiness, even if you didn't get your own way all the time. It's about coming together and accepting our differences and respecting each other and agreeing to disagree, like the youth taught us last week. That's what it's all about. That is what maturity is. Living out of joy, we can do that. You know, especially with married couples. Yeah, I was with a couple about 2 weeks ago, and they're thinking about it, and they came to me at a young, and I said, well, the Bible says get married to the one of your youth. So, you know, they passed that test. And then I said, well, you need to ask, so once you've got to the place where you think, something's happening here. I think you're not just a girlfriend, you're not just a boyfriend, friends. There's something more. We have to take it to the next level. And we say, like, okay, start asking the questions. It's like, are you going to take Jesus seriously? Are you going to give your life to him fully? If one is yes and one is no, my answer would be don't marry. That's it. Or where do you want to spend the rest of your life? I've had that before, where one's out in Jamaica, one lives here for a different reason. It was never going to happen. Unfortunately, they'd already had a child. And then I asked them, well, how many children do you want? And one of them went, well, loads of kids. Yeah, she went, loads of kids, at least four. And then he turned around and went, wow, I don't want many kids at all, two at the most. And I thought, well, that's easy. Three. You want four, you want two, three. Yeah, it's compromise. And out of joy, you can bend a little bit. And I was like happy with the three. And I just wish every pastoral situation was that easy, guys. But it's when we live out of joy that we can accept that people are different. We can accept we have to bend with the breeze. Like my old partner said to me, Clive, if you don't bend with the breeze, you're going to break. I want to break. Bend with the breeze. Be full of joy and respect what other people are like, because they are different. We're all different. And then, lastly, how do we live this in this culture today like that? Yeah, which is more crooked now, I would say, than any time in the history of man. More dark now than any time. Verse 16 says, hold fast to the word of light. And so we hold fast to it. The word that we read in the Bible isn't just ink on a bit of paper, guys. It's not. It's the life of God that he wants to impart to you. This is where the joy comes from. This is where the patience comes from. This is where all the goodness comes from. Guys, this isn't your life. Your life is in heaven with Christ in God. That's what Colossians tell us. We live for that, not for this world. God won't give us the rest in this world, but we live for him. But we go to the word of God. And your life is like a garden. Go picture it like that. It came up in a prophetic word the other day at prayer meetings. If you're missing the morning prayer meetings, shame, you're missing it. I would say this, that we're seeing people grow more through coming on the prayer meetings than they do by coming on a Sunday and even going to the group. It's just how it's working at the minute. I don't know, it's what I see. But the words we read in the Bible are life. You have a garden. Every person in your life is part of that garden. And as the rains come and water and the nutrients come up from the ground, so eventually the garden begins to grow, it begins to flourish. And like we saw some blossom coming out on the trees yesterday for the first time this year. so the garden starts to look glorious. So it is with your life. As you consume God's word, as you eat God's word, as you drink it in, it will give you the nutrients that your life will blood and flourish and grow and become something splendid. And so I encourage you to find that time to be with him. Joshua 1 says this, don't let this book of the law, don't this book of the law go from your sight. Meditate on it daily. Do what it says and you'll become prosperous. I want to say this, guys, this really helps you to take the word out choice, okay? Take that out. Never give yourself the choice as to whether you're going to read that day or not. Set it in stone. I wake up 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Don't do that. That's my body clock, just does it. 40 years it's done that. I read every day. Never wake up and think, oh, am I going to read? Am I not going to read? You just do it. Yeah? Put it in place. Do your praying. Put it in place. Do not, I say this to the guys that go for a workout. It's like, take choice out of it. We go for a workout, me and Deb, every day at 4 o'clock. You won't find us after that for about an hour and a half. And it's like, we don't choose whether we're going to go every day. No, 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 no. There's so many benefits to it. Yeah? We just do it. Take the word choice out. Just do it, guys, and see how you grow. See what God will do with you. And so...